Hello, everybody, and welcome to another subject matter expert interview. I am here with the one and only Noah Bethel from PDMA Corporation. Noah Bethel is the VP of Product Development at PDMA. So welcome, Noah. We're so happy to have you back here.
Hello from sunny Tampa, Florida.
Very sunny Tampa, Florida, as we've just discussed.
Yes.
So today we'll be talking about energized motor testing.
Correct.
Yes. Well, let's get started. I'm so excited. So Noah, first question, what are the biggest hurdles related to energized motor testing?
So it's interesting. When we first developed, the online motor testing technology, it was a dream come true. We thought, man, we've got the offline side handled, right? When the motors are off or tripped, unfortunately, we can apply the technology, get it tested, no problem. Having the ability to test it while it's running seemed like a great thing. But the biggest thing is safety became an issue, right? It was like, hey, you're actually testing energized equipment. Now you're in the vicinity of energized gear. So, access to that became a big deal. Finding personnel qualified to actually get into an electrical environment and test it safely, having the trained individual that you trust to get in there and do that safely. Access, like as much as it seemed like a dream come true, operations is not that friendly at saying, oh yeah, go ahead, open it up and start testing it, while we're using it, right? It sounds like, it sounds good, but in reality, there are some concerns that operations have that you opening up a cabinet, not to mention there are some interlocks in a lot of cabinets. If you open the cabinet to actually connect something and test it, it trips the unit offline. That's a hurdle, right? So we had to worry about that quite a bit. That probably pretty much wraps up the biggest hurdles. And I would say safety and personnel available to do it and do it properly.
All right. Well, what are the biggest advantages then to energized motor testing?
So it kind of goes hand in hand with the hurdles, actually. In fact, on the bright side of it, if you're not interrupting production, it should be a blessing again, right? And for the most part, it is. If you were to say, hey, would you shut the motor down so we can test it? You're going to get a lot of issues. And we're going to say, no, we're not shutting it down. Operations is not going to allow it. Occasionally, you have a backup system. You can do that, and that's not a problem. But as far as, while it's running, as long as you can, open that door without tripping anything, which should be the standard, you can actually hook it up, test it, never affect production. And that's a big deal, is not having to affect production. Another big advantage is, there's different fault zones. If you've heard PDMA talk at all, we talk fault zones, right? There's the power quality, power circuit, insulation, stator, rotor, and air gap. And I say that very quickly, but those are the six fault zones we focus on. Well, one of the fault zones you cannot focus on with the motor off is power quality. Right? So, and the distribution system in general. So if the motor's not running, there's no way to tell whether you're giving a good power quality. We also talk a lot about quality control, right? Well, you can go through all the QA of a motor, verify that the power circuit, the connections are all good, the insulation is all good. You can go through a lot of testing with the motor off. Motor shows up in the back of a truck, you take it off, you do all the testing, you verify everything's perfect before it goes into the warehouse. That's great. But if you hook that motor up to a system where the distribution system is flawed, the power quality is on a big voltage imbalance, or the huge amount of distortion is going to create higher current demand than you thought. Well, perfect motor in a bad environment is not a perfect situation. Well, the only way to tell that you're delivering poor power quality and poor voltage or current is through an online test. So huge advantage in terms of what I call the power quality and distribution testing. So that's kind of a big deal. The other thing is this, you can test a motor unloaded. And again, it's absolutely wonderful test data, but the motor's not under stress at the time, right? And much like ourselves, if we're under stress, the real personality comes out kind of like not always good, but I think there are Snicker commercials that talk about that, that's another point. But so when a motor's under stress, it opens up or it unveils some of its issues, right? So the only way to put a motor under stress is really having it running. So there is an advantage to online testing as far as seeing a motor while it's working to expose more of the potential anomalies.
Oh, okay. So then why does safety become such an important part of energized motor testing?
So inevitably, safety always comes down to your personnel injury a lot of times. And so, you hear about it, these horror stories where, a system failed and someone was in the vicinity and was injured or died. So it's all legitimate. There's a couple standards that were a big deal, like OSHA for the longest time. You'd every once in a while, you'd hear, a report about OSHA fining a company as a result of safety you know, oversight, right? If the company's not doing everything they can to keep their employees safe, OSHA will get involved and they'll fine them. And that's a big deal, right? It's all moving towards the safety of the individuals. NFPA 70E, right about 1979, right before 1980 came out, in conjunction with like NEC, you know, standards. And that became sort of the birthplace of what I would call elevated electrical safety, right? And so, you know, PDMA came out with a test access panel, actually as a product of the NFPA 70E, to be very, very blunt about it, right? So you know, myself, I feel, hey, I'm comfortable. I can open a cabinet. I've got a lot of experience and training, but a lot of people don't have that, right? A lot of employees aren't necessarily given the time and experience to be safely involved in testing. Well, the standards don't care whether you're advanced or whether you're a beginner. They want you in a completely safe environment. So NFPA 70 came in around, like I said, 1980. I want to say between 95 and 2012, it really elevated the arc flash side of things. So even a 480 volt motor, right, which for the standard residential property is high voltage, right? You don't see 480 volt in people's houses. But 480 volt in industrial sectors considered low voltage, right? High voltage is up at the 4160, 6.9 kV, that kind of stuff. So when the NFPA 70E and the OSHA started really coming down hard on any electrical type of injury or death, all the vendors like PDMA and the other electric motor test equipment vendors had to respond in a way to make sure that people could continue to take the blessings of online testing. And that was where for PDMA, it was a test access panel. So you can put a test access panel in, never have to open the door, walk up without PPE, plug it in, and take some tests, right? It's a wonderful thing, right? Better than sliced bread, I would say, when it comes to safety. So that was a big deal. So really, anyone looking at the movement of electrical safety and all that kind of stuff, it really started, in my opinion, over my many years of testing, right? See the gray, you know, the, I call it credibility that I've developed, you know, in ready, getting ready for fall is what I'm doing. So, but that being said, you know, it really began going vertical with the NFPA 70, and that was a big deal. I know that PDMA ourselves, we came out in 2005 with our MTAP 2. So that kind of tells you from the advent of, you know, back in the 95 era for NFPA to come up with the arc flash stuff, from that, from 95 to 2005, in that 10-year span, the pressure rose high enough that if you didn't have test access panels or some ability to test without opening a cabinet, you weren't going to test. So the vendors responded.
Oh, wow. Well, Noah, can you tell me just how long you've been testing and with PDMA for? I'd like to know.
Oh, yeah. We break out a calculator. you know, so I got started on submarines, right? So I was on a submarine working on AC and DC motors. And, you know, I was doing that through 1993, right? I think that was probably before you were born, but anyway, so on the submarines testing AC and DC motors, and in 93, I was able to leave the services and join PDMA Corporation. And it's been all uphill since then. So, you know, it was interesting because we went from doing basic, you know, AC, low voltage AC and DC motors into, just introduced to a variety of different applications, you know, in terms of the huge synchronous motors and the wind farms. And it's just, so there's an amazing amount of stuff in the industrial sector, and it was quite an eye opener for us. So PDMA Corporation, we joke that it stands for our equipment will test pretty darn much anything, right? But that's not really what it stands for. You know, we were the PDMA division of a much larger organization before going independent. So yes, good question. A long time.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering. Well, another thing that you're a pretty solid expert on is permanently installed motor testing. So what are the biggest advantages to that?
So it's interesting because, you know, we all talk a lot of times about doing the good, better, and best approach, right? So, you know, obviously the goods, when we talk about having a portable online testing, right? That's a good approach, and it really adds to the total picture of offline and online testing. Now, safety came in. So to do that online testing better, we added the test access panel, right? And now to actually especially for critical assets, permanently installing technology takes it to another level. Now you're not just doing the good and the better, but now you're applying the best that is available. Now it's 24-hour monitoring. And let's face it, we did a survey back in one of the trade shows. It was interesting. We did everything. Hey, how often would you like to test motors for the reliability and the life expectancy? And the results came back with like minutes, like, you know, every hour, you know, multiple times an hour would be, you know, and that is to cover some of the faults that occur very rapidly with very little warning. So, you know, there's only one, you can't do that with portable technology. So inevitably the development of permanently installed technology, which tests 24 hours a day, became a big deal. You know, the beauty of the permanently installed is, you know, never production limiting. Even if you have a company that's a little reluctant to have you test it while, you know, it's running, it's invisible. It's behind the scenes. It's happening all the time. So that's a huge deal. Test frequency, right? The permanently installed capability is testing all the time. Right. So literally it's every minute you're getting data in from a critical asset. You're not waiting until, you know, something happens or until operations complains about something. If anything, we'll see something happening before operations will. And that's a huge deal to be able to call them and say, hey, what was you guys doing at 10 a.m. on Saturday? You know, and, you know, and we've come across that. We've had an amazing run with the permanently installed situations where not only are we seeing, you know, obviously motor faults in advance and as early as possible before any secondary damage occurs. But we're expanding into the machine train a little bit. So if you've got gears and shafts and reduction, you know, this kind of fans, pumps, blowers, all of that machine train information is being passed through the current. And now even the electrical side of reliability is starting to give their two cents towards the overall maintenance reliability, even if it's a mechanical fault. And we know that it's always electrical until proven otherwise. That's we joke with the mechanics about that. But so it's a big deal. But we're also seeing misoperation, not necessarily on purpose. I don't want to throw operations under the bus. Obviously, they have their own agenda, and it's not always in line with maintenance. But the two working together is always going to be a bigger benefit for the stockholders or for the company management. So, you know, in that situation, we've been able to catch situations where a misoperation did occur. And as a result, we were able to point it out, you know. So it has dramatically expanded our ability to see things early and give a more broad approach to root cause failure.
Oh, wow. Well, that's amazing. And I love the good, better, best approach. I know that that's kind of your coin other than hello from sunny Tampa, Florida.
That's right.
So I love it.
Gotta work that in.
Yes, exactly. So Noah, can you provide some more detail on the data integration / interoperability of motor testing?
Right. So that is as of late, it's become a real focus. And, you know, years ago, I remember going to an ESA show, which is an electrical apparatus show. It's like all the motor shops and the motor manufacturers get together. It's a big bunch of motor heads, really. And the biggest focus during that conference was efficiency monitoring. And how could a motor shop doing repairs, how could it verify the efficiency of their efforts or the work that they've done? And it was, the government was pushing it heavily. The U.S. government was pushing it heavily at the time. And so when they're behind all that push, people start to respond. You know, there's a pressure. If you can't prove that your rewind is offering a certain efficiency, they wouldn't take it. I mean, it was the talk of the town, right? Us, like many other vendors, jumped to the development table, and we developed new efficiency energy analysis programs to respond to that. Well, in the middle of the night, the government sort of backed off that, and so all of a sudden it was there. Not to say that this new integration conversation, which is so popular right now, and every trade show, I would say every third conversation we have is about integrating our data into other programs. I'm not to say that it's going to follow the same, maybe hyperbole or whatever that the energy efficiency did, but it feels this like it's going in the same direction of excitement. Now, whether it stays or it falls back down, we'll see. But right now, as vendors, we have to respond to that. So one of the things we put a lot of development time is to make sure that our data, even though it lives within our own software, and we allow our analysts to look at it, our customers using our technology can use our software to analyze the motors and look and understand what they need to do next. But we've developed a lot of integration tools to allow our data to be pulled out of our database into third-party software, like CMMS programs, asset management programs, general dashboard technology that feeds AI or machine learning programs. And so what we're seeing a lot is we might go into a utility plant And they're interested in motor testing, obviously. And so we're working with them on developing the motor testing plans and strategies. But the big question is, hey, can we get this data to our analytics team, right? A lot of times this is a whole room full of college kids that are really good with mathematics and really good with numbers. They don't necessarily know what makes a motor go round and round, but they're really good at crunching numbers and identifying trends that are indicative of an anomaly. So that is a very big deal. And I would say that in every situation where we're moving technology into almost any industry, the follow-up question is, hey, can I get your data into our analytics team? So that's a big deal. And I don't want to, you know, I wouldn't say I'm not as big a proponent on pure AI as I am, but I do like machine learning, right? Mm-hmm. Simply applying the historical performance of a known asset on my site, that's very valuable. Very valuable. And so we'd like to build that into the fault zone analysis, give the analyst a little bit, you know, more tools to make good decisions. So whether you're just trying to develop your own better, you know, tools for machine learning, or whether you're sending the data to a third party that's going to look at the data and apply it in some type of artificial intelligence algorithm, that's a big deal. And so I would say, now, here's what's interesting is this is where the permanently installed, remember the good, better, best approach, right? So the best approach for your critical assets, permanently installed technology, is providing this data to the analytics team 24 hours a day. It's so much easier to develop machine learning trends from something you're getting data from all the time than if you're giving data to these folks, like say once a quarter, once a month, right? A lot of the technologies, whether it's motor testing, vibration, ultrasonics, oil analysis, monthly data is as good as you get on a lot of them. So it's not that you can't develop a trend. It's not that you can't send that data to analytics. But trust me, those college kids in the analytics department, they'd like minute by minute data because there's never enough, right? So permanently installed technology has a significant advantage in supplying the whole integration interoperability capability, you know, effort.
Oh, wow. Well, when you put it like that, I can totally see that. Well, can you say, do you have anything else to add or anything else to say about electric motor testing or permanently installed testing or anything like that?
So I'll say this, that from a global sense, you know, we always talk about the quality control, trending and troubleshooting, right? The permanently installed, you know, online motor testing capability, it certainly is going to be difficult to apply that to a quality control perspective when it comes to a motors. But like the example we gave earlier, mm-hmm. it should be applied to the distribution power quality side. You know, so whether you got a motor installed or not, you can look at the voltage before the motor's ever turned on, right? Because the voltage is often not shut down. So even though obviously when you're hooking up a motor, you've completely isolated the circuit, most of the time you can still see voltage, okay, on the bus. So the last thing you want to do is hook up a motor on a 10% voltage imbalance, right? So you should know in advance before you ever turn the motor on, and that's quality control. Trending, obviously, there's no better trend than if you're getting data minute by minute, okay? You're going to see trends early, you're going to see them. And then finally, troubleshooting. The fact that you have a time series plot in front of you from a permanently installed technology, I can tell you, it's like when you're talking about an event that changes your mindset, you know, in life, that minute by minute historian that is now available to end users for data from a maintenance and reliability perspective, it is a go-to for your analysts. You know, that's what I do is analyze data, right? And I would have a certain route that I would go on looking at data. I would look at this, I would look at that, and then I would move down the row for my own troubleshooting. This historian has changed that my whole approach. So I can't say enough about the power of that data. And how it allows you to much more quickly direct your attention to where it needs to be is just like night and day. So that trifecta, as we called it, the, you know, quality control, trending, and troubleshooting, that should be a primary goal for any electric motor testing equipment, whether it's online, offline, or permanently installed, regardless, that needs to be applied. Other than that, the future is bright.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you so much, Noah, for sitting down with us and interviewing with us. So if you guys want some more of Noah, we have plenty of him on CBM Connect, along with Todd Gunderson. We have the Todd and Noah show, if you guys would like to check that out. We also have a bunch of 2-minute tips from them, case studies, white papers, webinars. We have it all. So make sure to go check them out there. Noah, if they want to get in touch with you, what do they have to do?
So CBM Connect is a great starting point. Again, like I said, you can find us through there. We have a website at pdma.com. and with, again, case studies and a variety of things, YouTube channels as well. So, my email, easy to find, whether it's on LinkedIn or whatever, noah@pdma.com. So we're always here ready to look at your motor data. That's what we do.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Noah. And thank you, PDMA. And thank you for sitting down with us one more time. Thank you to our audience. If you guys would want to follow along, please make sure to follow us at Mobius Connect everywhere you can find us. And yes, and we will see you guys for the next interview. Thank you, Noah, again, for sitting down and talking with us all about electric motor testing.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, then we'll see you next time.